hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. We've been talking about launching the greatest year of your life and helping you experience new heights in Christ. Today, I want you to take a Bible and go to Proverbs chapter 18. This month, we've been talking about not only launching the greatest year of your life, which the first week I shared with you from God's Word, why it's not only a possibility, but He wants it to be your reality, but also understanding that in order for that to happen, there are some things that we must break free from so that we can experience all that Jesus has bought and paid and prepared for us. And we must get rid of the weights that drag us down. Now, today I want to talk to you about one of those weights. Last week we broke free, and week one we broke free. But today we're going to continue experiencing freedom from these things that are dragging us down in our life. And I know that you can agree with me today in acknowledging that all of us have at some point been offended. Anybody ever been offended? Maybe you're offended right now by something. We've all experienced offense. It's something that we go through. It's something that is common to the human experience. And yet it is one of the greatest hindrances that will drag you down and will destroy not only your walk with God and what you experience with Him, but it will keep you locked in to a low-level existence where you're constantly battling things and wrestling in your flesh that ought to be overcome by the Spirit and grown to a place in maturity where we're no longer struggling with that so that we can go on and step into the greater things God has for us. It's part of growing up spiritually. Now, Satan is a thief, and he uses offense as a weapon against your life to steal, kill, and destroy your peace, your time, your family, what your friendships, whatever it might be. It ruins relationships. It robs us. It takes away. It doesn't add anything to our life. It's not something fun. It's not something we enjoy. Yet it's something we deal with that we may not know how to get free from. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 19. And I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation, and it says this: an offended friend is harder to win back than a fortified city. An offended friend is harder to win back than a fortified city. Now, a fortified city speaks of a place, a dwelling place, that is surrounded by walls. Okay? So there are walls that go up whenever we're offended. And it says, arguments separate friends like a gate locked with bars. It pushes people apart. Offense becomes like the wall that was there in Germany. It becomes a dividing line that separates people from one another. It puts one group on one side and another group on the other side. Can I tell you today that through the blood of Jesus Christ, if you're born again, God has torn all walls down, and we are one in His name. We are one in the kingdom of God. We are one in His blood. We are one because of the gospel, and we cannot and we will not allow Satan to erect walls in our life that separate us from the people that Jesus died and shed His blood so that we could share life and share His blessings and share His benefits together. Go on, you can give God praise there. That's okay. And so today I want to talk to you about breaking free from offense, because it is something that we all wrestle with. Jesus actually said in Luke chapter 17, verse 1, He said, it's impossible that no offenses should come. He said, it's impossible that no offenses should come. In other words, it is ignorant to believe that you're going to be able to live a life where offense never shows up on your doorstep. He said, it is going to come. Actually, one scholar said it is simply unthinkable that you would allow yourself to dream that you could live this life without an opportunity to become offended. Somebody say opportunity. So the Bible is clear that we don't have to get offended when offense shows up. But Satan is going to make sure we have plenty of opportunity. And what we've got to do is, when opportunity knocks at your door to become offended, that we turn it away. Jesus warned that the opportunity to be offended is coming to your doorstep. And so as a wise people, we must be prepared for it when that shows up. So this morning is twofold. It's proactive in helping you to equip yourself and arm yourself against offense, but it's also a time when I believe that God is going to bring healing into hearts. This morning, I'm believing God that in his supernatural power, you're going to experience freedom from offenses that have been there year after year after in your life, and they have become pollution to your soul, and they are destroying your health mentally, emotionally, physically. And I believe right now, before we leave today, that's going to change. Can y'all come into agreement with me on that this morning? Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you so much for the privilege we have of coming together today. And we pray, first of all, for the Wiles, God, that you would just lay your hand upon them today. We release your healing power into Simon and Gwendolyn and your protection over the rest of the family. We bind and rebuke that stomach bug. We command it to go and cast it out in the name of Jesus. We release your healing power into them. We apply the blood of Jesus over them. Protect that trip. God, give John and Jen peace in their hearts. I know that's troubling as a parent, but Father, let them just have a supernatural peace today. And Father, for those who are struggling with offense and unforgiveness in their hearts this morning, I pray in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, that you would come and that you would touch and that you would heal and do surgery in our hearts. Put us back together. Take that which has been broken and make it whole again. Father, we thank you. We praise you. And we believe you right now to do what only you can do. That today we experience freedom. That today in the name of Jesus, there would be a restoration of joy and of hope. And God, that you would just begin to make whole relationships. We thank you. We praise you. Beginning with anyone here today that doesn't have a right relationship with you, that before they leave this morning, let them see how much you love them. Let them call on you and their name be written in heaven as they repent. In Jesus' name we ask it, and everybody said, amen. Amen. So Jesus warns us that opportunity is coming and we've got to be prepared. He intentionally chooses a word for us in the Greek, the New Testament is written in Greek, that paints a picture for us of what he's talking about. God gives us things we can see to help us understand that which we can't see. And the word he uses there for offense is a word picture that describes a bait trap that you would use on an animal. It describes a trap that is set with a stick and there is bait on the inside that will lure an animal in, and once he brushes up against that stick, it slams shut and traps him on the inside so that he can be devoured by whoever or whatever is trying to catch it. And so this is the exact same picture that Jesus uses with us, that when opportunity presents itself for us to become offended, it is a trap. Somebody say offense is a trap. See, Satan has set this trap for us, and Jesus is warning us to be careful how we handle things that happen to us in life that have the potential to trap us. Offense is a device, just like that trap, that Satan has created to limit you, to keep you from your destiny in Christ, which is the purpose he created you, and prevent you from fulfilling and enjoying the wonderful walk that God has prepared for each and every one of us. Again, he wants to keep you locked into low-level living and never experience new heights in Christ. Somebody say offend. The word offend we can divide into two, and it's off and. Satan wants to get your eyes off of God. That's what offense does. Satan wants to get your eyes off of what Jesus has done for us, off of what the Word commands us to do. The Bible says, I've hidden your Word in my heart that I might not sin against you. He wants to get our eyes off our assignment. He wants to get our eyes off our new identity in Christ. He wants to get your eyes off the power of God, and he wants to end your walk with Christ. He wants to end your purpose. He wants to end the blessings of God in your life. He wants to keep you offended and present you with opportunity over and over and over, whether it's in the church or in the home or in your marriage or at the school or with your children or with your spouse or with your relatives or at your, or wherever it might be, your boss, we're constantly presented with the opportunity to become offended. Fair enough? Maybe you're offended that Marcia didn't wave at you in the grocery store parking lot. You didn't realize that her hands were full of groceries and full of Zoe, which is enough to keep your hands full all day long. Hello, baby. And she's trying to get out of that grocery store parking lot as fast as she can. But we are trying to constantly overcome offense because it's always in our face. There's always an opportunity to become offended. And here's the reality. We live trapped by offense when we get caught in it. We hate the way we feel on the inside. There's this constant barrage of negative thoughts, negative emotions that consume us, and we don't know how to break free from it. But I'm coming today to give you steps from God's word that will release his freedom into your situation. That's a great place to say amen. Okay? Number one, first thing you've got to do to stay free from offense is, number one, you need to forgive others completely and continually. This is important. Forgive other people completely and continually. Forgiveness is something we must constantly be giving in our life to those around us. Jesus said in Matthew 18, verse 21, then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times. Peter thought that was pretty impressive. Jesus said to him, I don't say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Somebody say 70 times seven. In other words, I want you to forgive them as many times as they come. As many times as there's offense, I want you to create opportunity and room for reconciliation. I want you to forgive that person and I want you to release them. What's 70 times seven? Anybody know? 490. He didn't mean once you hit 489, buddy, you're on the edge. He meant as many times as it happened, I want you to continually and completely forgive that person. Yet there are some lies that Satan uses against the body of Christ that prevent us or hinder us from forgiving thoroughly and completely. And I want to address some of those lies, what they are. One of those lies is, well, if they haven't apologized or acknowledged what they did, then I don't have to forgive them. And I want to make sure you understand a critical truth today, that your forgiveness does not begin with their apology. Let me try that again. Your forgiveness, Balcony, does not begin with their apology. We are to forgive immediately. We're to forgive instantly. The time to forgive somebody who offends you is the instant they do it. Now, what that does is it strips Satan's power in that offense from having control over you. We ought to be like a duck's back, water on a duck's back, amen? It just rolls off. There is an oil on that duck's back that God has naturally given it that causes that water to roll off its back. Can I tell you, you are coated in the oil of the Holy Spirit, and offense can roll off of you if you'll just tap into what God has already given you. The time to forgive is the instant they do it. There's going to be times in life people are going to cause you pain, sometimes tremendous pain. Sometimes it might be by the people that are closest to you. And when that happens, you need to begin healing immediately. And they may not come and apologize for weeks or months or in some cases years. They may never come to you and ask, but it's important that we release them from it the moment they do it, not when they come and ask for it, because we need the healing process to begin immediately, not for them, but for us. And so when we release them, God's able to come in and begin healing us from the areas where we were hurt, even though the relationship may not be experiencing reconciliation yet. We release them from it the moment they do it, not the moment they acknowledge it. Don't be deceived into thinking that you have to wait for that person to come to you before you forgive them. I don't release them for them. I do it for me. And more importantly, I do it for him. I forgive them because he forgave me. And I won't lose sight of how much he's forgiven me for. God forgave me big, and he's asked me to forgive others big. And when we forgive other people when they don't deserve it, it shows them the love of Jesus Christ and opens their eyes and crushes a hard heart and shows them that God can love me too. Hurting people hurt people. The second lie we've got to address and knock down is very simply the lie that says, well, they don't deserve it. Well, thanks, Captain Obvious. We didn't deserve it either. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13 says, make allowance for each other's faults. Well, why do we need to make allowance for each other's faults? Very simply because if you're going to spend your life doing it with other people, then they're going to let you down. Reality check. It's a part of life, and we all do it. And we've all had it done. Make allowance, make room for each other's faults, and forgive anyone who what? Who offends you. Forgive anyone who offends you. There's not a separate list of some people that you don't have to forgive. You know, Santa Claus isn't the only one with a naughty list. Some of us have a list of people that we're just like, I'm done with that person. Forgiveness is not based on performance. Forgiveness is based on grace. None of us deserves the forgiveness Jesus gave us, do we? And he's asking us to show that same type of grace to others. He forgives me because of who he is, not because of who I am. Amen? And so we forgive others not because of who they are, but because of who we are as new creations in Christ. We don't forgive people because they deserve it. We don't forgive people because it's fair. We don't forgive people because they earned it. Real forgiveness is unconditional. It's no strings attached, no contract to sign, no I'll forgive you if you do X, Y, and Z and sign here, 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 and here. It's like buying a car. Real forgiveness is I'm going to give it to you whether you want it or not. Romans 5:8 says God demonstrated how much he loved us in that while we were still sinners, Jesus died for us. He did it while we were still messed up. Can you say amen? The third lie we've got to destroy is the lie that says, well, I have to forgive and forget. And we think if I can't forget, then I must not have really forgiven. And so we delay the healing process from taking place. And you got to know today that God forgives and forget, but you can't. Forgetting is not part of who you are as a human. We've got to forgive, but we will probably never forget. You don't have the ability, like God, to forgive and to forget. But when we forgive, we strip that memory from having the power to control us anymore. And what we can do is turn a weakness into a strength. Because what happens is when somebody offends you, when somebody hurts you, when somebody makes you angry, when the thought of that person's face crosses your mind, what happens? All of a sudden, this flood of negative emotions comes back to you. Am I right? And so what we have to do is we have to find a way to deal with that. And many times we believe the lie that says, well, because you still feel that way, you must not have truly forgiven them. And that's not true. It just reveals that you're still human. And so what we do is, again, we turn a weakness, the ability to not forget, into a strength so that every time a memory or a negative emotion toward that person who hurt me comes back up on the inside, I use it as a reminder. I use it as a string on my finger. I use it as a spiritual post-it note to turn my eyes on Jesus and say, Father, I thank you for that person. Father, today I ask that you would bless them. Father, I ask that you would prosper them. Father, I ask today that they walk in nothing less than your best. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that they would walk in your perfect will and destiny for their life. Father, today in Jesus' name, I acknowledge that they are worth the blood of Jesus Christ and they have an eternal soul that you have saved. And I acknowledge today you love them just as much as you love me. I acknowledge today that they're as valuable to you as I am to you. I acknowledge today that you treasure them as much as you treasure me. All of a sudden, what starts changing is what's on the inside. Side of me, and I take and I wash away with prayer all of those negative emotions and thoughts, and all of a sudden I have a heart of compassion for that person, and I begin to see them as an eternal soul, and all of a sudden the thing they did to me, no matter how heinous it might have been, begins to slip away because I see them in the light of eternity, and I don't want anybody to spend an eternity in hell. I don't want anybody to experience that kind of pain, no matter what kind of pain they cause me. I want them to know Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior. And then we've got to address the lie that says, well, if I forgive them, I have to trust them. And this is where people really get into trouble and it causes a lot of pain and it becomes a cyclical thing where they spiral deeper and deeper into depression and bitterness in their life. And Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 14, he says, if you forgive men their trespasses, your Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you. You see that? So when we say, I'm not going to forgive them, I don't know about you, but I'm not perfect yet. So I need some forgiveness from time to time from him. But if I say I refuse to forgive somebody who's hurt me and done me wrong, then I just hit pause on my relationship with God, just like your Blu-ray or DVD player at home. I hit pause on my walk with God. I must release forgiveness to receive forgiveness. Why? Because we reap what we sow. And so if I want to be forgiven, I have to forgive. We forgive people who have offended us the instant it happens. The time for forgiveness is now. However, trust comes later. Forgiveness is now. Trust comes later. Forgiveness is right now. Trust comes later. Forgiveness and trust are not the same. Forgiveness is based on grace. Trust is based on performance. It ought to help somebody. Forgiveness is instant, but trust takes time. Trust must be rebuilt. It must be earned. one opportunity at a time, one test at a time, as people show you their intention towards you is good. Just like Jesus said to the servant when he came back with the talents, he said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." What he had was a test of what he would get next. And we do that with people. We don't set them up to fail. You've got to give them enough trust to get them going and get them started. But forgiveness is up to you. Trust is up to them. You can forgive completely without ever trusting a person again. But that shouldn't be the goal. We trust in increments. It's better to go too slow than too fast. Why? Because it's very simply easier to play catch up than clean up. Okay? Number two this morning, you've got to be courageous enough to communicate. When it comes to the subject of offense, and this is an area where I watch people struggle, we've got to be courageous enough to communicate. 96% of consumers in America, whether it's at a restaurant or whether it's at a store, if they don't like something that is there, something that's offended them, something that's turned them off, they will never tell anyone. Of that 96%, 91% of those people will simply leave and never come back. They just walk out the door without saying anything to anyone. And that same consumer mentality has crept into the church. The number one reason people leave churches where God has planted them is not because of doctrinal issues. It's because of a squabble with somebody else they attend with. I want you to think about that. Because of offense, we pack up and we leave the very place where God planted us, where He has chosen to bless us, that will feed us life-giving spirit soul food. And we leave and we step out of God's will very simply because we were offended by something somebody did. And so offense can almost always be overcome through communication. Matthew chapter 18 verse 15 says, "If another believer sins against you, go privately and point out the offense." He says, go to that person. We cling to this scripture. Matter of fact, it's in our membership material, something we teach every person who says, "I want Victory Church to be my home." If a believer sins against you, go privately and point out the offense. Point out the offense if they've offended you. If the other person listens and confesses it, you have won. Somebody say won. You have won that person back. You know, we don't just need to win people one time, but we need to win people over and over and over. We're worth fighting for. Amen? You're worth fighting for. But the reason why we don't communicate many times is because it's awkward, right? It's weird. And there's anxiety related to that. We're afraid of what they might say or how it's going to go. But this is how we do life the right way. If we care, we communicate. When you stop communicating, then you stop caring. I read from James 5:16 today. And I want to read to you what it says in the message. I love this, and it's so eye-opening. It says, make this your common practice. In other words, do this regularly. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you can live together. Confess your sins. Confess your faults. Confess when you've blown it, you know, with each other. Go and tell them. Why? So that you can live together. It makes living together a possibility and a reality in our life. And here's what I've come to find. I've come to find that most offenses come through a lack of understanding or a misunderstanding. Proverbs 4:7 says, in all you're getting, get understanding. In other words, I need to understand why you're upset. I need to understand why you're hurt. You need to understand where I'm at and hear me out on this thing, because we're different people, but we're one in Christ Jesus. And it's only through communicating that we can overcome this obstacle of offense and come back together. And the only way to break through a misunderstanding is through connecting and communicating. The reality is offenses come from failed expectations. They didn't do something we thought they were going to do. They didn't do something we thought they should do. Or they did something we thought they should have never done. And what happens is we're shocked by what we see, and it knocks us off of our emotional footing. And I've learned that if a person is angry or offended, then a better way to approach it, instead of being angry and being offended back, which is the first response your flesh wants to give, is to take a breath and say, where did I fail you? Where have I offended you? Help me understand where we're at. I certainly didn't do it on purpose. I love you and you would never intentionally suffer at my hands. Can you help me? I want to know where you're at. Let me know so that we can overcome this together. Can you say amen? That's maturity. That's growing up in the Lord. That's learning how to deal with these things. Let me give you a very important reality this morning. Conflict and confrontation is essential to healthy relationships. Just because you don't have any conflict or any confrontation doesn't mean you're doing okay. Conflict and confrontation is a healthy part of relationships, but we must understand how to deal with that, because the closer you get to people and the longer you do life together, the more opportunity there is going to be for you to become offended at something they did. But because we love each other and we're committed to each other, we're not going to pack up and leave each other. I think about being in a marriage. I've been married to Marcia for 15 years now, and there are plenty of times that I've offended her, I'm sure. And when I do, she don't pack up and leave me, right? She stays with me in spite of me. Because I told her, if you leave me, I'm going with you. But we've got to look at our relationship with other people much the same. You know, we may not be married to each other, but we have a contract in the blood of Jesus Christ that I'm committed to helping you make it to see him and meet him face to face. And I believe you're committed to me in the same way. And finally this morning, number three, you've got to give people the benefit of the doubt. Give people the benefit of the doubt. I genuinely believe most offense comes accidentally. Satan will twist something innocent to drive a wedge between friends and family. Hear me on this. Because most of us are filled with insecurity, we're constantly skeptical and suspicious of people who love us. We're quick to assume the worst. If we see people talking, we assume they're talking about us. We assume they're plotting against us. Y'all know what I'm talking about today? Has anybody caught themselves doing that? We're quick to assume the worst. If we text somebody and they don't text us back in 26 seconds, we assume they hate us and have cut us off. All of a sudden, giant walls go up overnight between people who were once great friends. Proverbs 18:19 says, again, an offended friend is harder to win back than a fortified city. They're walled off. I'm convinced that our sensitivity settings are entirely too high. Anybody have a car alarm here? It's not cool anymore. They just come with them now. In the 90s, it was the thing, man. If you had a car alarm, everybody in the parking lot knew. But you had a sensitivity setting on it, Steve, that Viper had, where you could crank that sucker way up and you'd get within 8 feet of it. I mean, the little old lady three cars down is just trying to put up her eggs and her milk, and your alarm's going off about giving her a heart attack. Why? Because you can't get anywhere near it because the sensitivity setting is way too high. Let me tell you, we have sensitivity settings, and I am convinced, if you don't believe me, just go out in a parking lot. Not our parking lot, praise God. But another parking lot of a store, a retail store, and watch how high people's sensitivity level is. And I've watched this in people's lives. They're so touchy. They're so easily angered. They're so easily offended that they bounce from job to job, from friend to friend, from church to church. Everywhere they go, they've got a problem. Teachers and coaches dread seeing their kids coming, not because the kids' businesses would rather not sell to them. Nobody wants to work with them. Nobody wants to be around them. They become isolated because they always have a problem with something. Can I tell you today, if you always have a problem, you are the problem. I say that with all love. If you always have a problem, you are the problem. If every conversation we have, we walk away with an issue, then we are the problem. We've got to turn down our sensitivity level. We've got to look inside ourselves and ask God to help us identify why we're so touchy and to begin healing us. Again, hurting people hurt people. And so we're just hurting on the inside. There's brokenness. We're guarded. So we're easily offended and upset. Let me tell you another one. We have an unhealthy addiction to the approval of other people. We are desperate to be liked. We put the details of our life on display for other people to comment on, which is craziness to start with. And then we get offended if they don't say anything, or if they say the wrong thing, or if there's not enough people who liked what we showed them. Can I tell you today, it's not their fault, it's our fault. Everybody is not going to like you. Don't get offended though. Everybody didn't like Jesus, and he lived a perfect life. I come with good news that will set you free today. It doesn't matter if the world don't like you. It doesn't matter if the world doesn't love you. God likes you and God loves you. Hallelujah. And farther than that, it took me 21 years to get there, but I like myself. I love myself. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. You've got the only vote that really matters, and that's God, and you've got to get your vote, because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Somebody say, I'm good with God, and I'm good with me. Well, say it again. I'm good with God, and I'm good with me. Let's say it again. I like God, and he likes me. I love God, and he loves me. The Bible says that God is love, and that his perfect love casts out fear. So this morning, let his perfect love cast fear out of your life, so that you can not only receive his love and be loved, but you can love yourself and show the world the love that he's shown you. Can you say amen today? And the last point this morning is, you can't overcome what you ignore. You cannot overcome what you ignore. You've got to identify offense and address it. You know, sweeping dirt under the rug doesn't make your house clean, does it? But many times that's what we do in our lives. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 and 15 says, work at living in peace with everyone. Why would he say that? Very simply because it's work. It takes work to live at peace with other people. It's laborsome. It requires effort. It requires energy. Work at living in peace with everyone. And work at living a holy life. That takes work too. Verse 15, look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness. Bitterness, the Bible says, is a poisonous root. Root determines fruit. So if I have a poisonous root, then I produce poisonous fruit. He says, watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up or germinates or produces in you. He says, pull that weed out the second you see it. He says, watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble, to crowd in, to annoy you, corrupting, contaminating, polluting, and defiling or ruining many people. See, offense doesn't just affect us. It affects everybody around us. That bitterness that comes on the inside of us, it affects everybody else. Bitterness keeps us stuck in the pain of past offenses. Betrayal is what others do to us, but bitterness is what we do to ourselves. Betrayal is an external attack, but bitterness is an internal attack. Millions of people survive betrayal, but nobody survives bitterness. Bitterness creates a double victim. It starts with what somebody else does to us, but it ends with what we do to ourselves. And we've got to be careful, church, that we don't make what others have done to us worse by becoming bitter over it. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31, it says, get rid of all bitterness. Maybe there's some of you here today that know all too well the taste of bitterness in your life. He says, get rid of all bitterness. And then he gives a list of things after that that results from having bitterness in our life. Rage, anger, harsh words, slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Maybe you see yourself in that list. You could say, Josh, I know that bitterness has affected my life because I've been wounded. And I've become bitter, and I've let these things creep in. But I love the fact that God always gives us a substitute, just like Jesus was our substitute. He says, instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. With every head bowed and every eye closed today, without a doubt in my mind, there's many in this room this morning that say, Josh, I've been offended. And I can see in my life where I've missed out because of the things you talked about today. There's bitterness in my life. I hate the way I feel. I hate what it's done to me. I hate who I've become. But I don't see any way out. Friend, Jesus gives hope to you today. And today you can be free from that thing once and for all and start walking in that newfound freedom through the simple steps I talked about today. But there's a moment in time where he wants you to experience a release and his refreshing presence to come upon you and confirm what has happened in your heart. If you're here today and you say, Josh, that's me. I've been struggling with offense or with bitterness. I just want you to raise your hand and wave at me this morning. I'm not going to call you out. You just be honest and say, Josh, I've been struggling with it. It's affecting my relationships. I'm waiting for you. All across this room, hands. The Bible says, confess your faults to one another that you may be whole. You don't have to live broken anymore. You're nobody's damaged goods. He loves you. Just a moment longer. I see you. I see you. Would you lay your hands over your heart, every person in this room today? I'm going to pray for you. And there's going to come a point in this prayer where I'm going to ask you to say the name of the person who's hurt you and release them. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray right now for each and every heart here today that is experiencing brokenness and bitterness. Father, I pray for a release of your healing power into their hearts. I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would flood them with your grace that gives them the power to do what they can't do on their own, that where they're weak, your grace would be strong. Father, I release your grace into their heart today. Holy Spirit, you're our comforter. Comfort them where they've been hurt and broken. And Father, today in the name of Jesus, no matter who it was, no matter how bad it hurt, no matter how many times they did it to us, Father, we release them by faith today. And I want you to repeat after me. Say, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I release. Now name that person. Say, I forgive them for everything they've done to me. Say, I forgive myself for everything I've done to me, and I ask you now to forgive me for bitterness, for offense, and for unforgiveness. In Jesus' name I ask it. And Father, I apply the blood of Jesus over every heart. Your word says we're to guard our heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. Father, I pray that you would seal and protect every heart. Help us to identify offense when it shows up. And Father, I thank you for newfound freedom in every person that prayed that prayer here today. I pray for a release of your supernatural joy, your peace that passes all understanding. And Father, that they would be able to love others the way you've loved them. I thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. With your head bowed just a moment longer, if you're here today and you say, Josh, today I'd like to begin a relationship with Jesus. Maybe you walked with him at one time, but you've walked away. You've let sin creep into your life. Today, would you come home, friend? I'm going to count to three. If that's you, I want to pray with you. Just raise your hand and wave at me. 1, 2, 3. Josh, today, I want to give my heart to Jesus. I want to get my life right with him.